Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Good morning. I'm Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer. Let's take a 180 from that Iraq discussion and let's talk about the weather outside being, well, a little bit frightful, but yearly sniffles and bugs are abounding. They probably live in each and every office space. Our current topic is working while under the influence of illness. Confession time, listeners, and not for those of you who call in sick on a regular basis. We want to know, do you go to the office with a stuffed nose, runny eyes, and sore throats? Does that make you a trooper, or does that make you a vector for disease? Managers have seen the sniffles spread in your office like wildfire. And, you know, if you're a manager, do you feel powerless to keep the sick away? Workers, do you feel like management has your hands tied? You just can't take sick time off. Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. There is a word for people who come to work while sick: presenteeism. Yeah, not absenteeism, the opposite. We'd like to hear from you if you're a cog in a wheel. How do you feel like if you have to get up in the morning and go to work? Presenteeism is sometimes worker-induced and sometimes manager-induced. Dr. Ron Goetzel, director of the Institute for Health and Productivity Studies at Cornell University's Institute for Policy Research, joins us now. Hello, Ron Goetzel. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. And by the way, just that we pronounce our names, it's Ron Goetzel.
Okay. Goetzel rhymes with pretzel.
That's right. You got it.
Explain presenteeism.
Presenteeism, as you point out, is similar to absenteeism. Absenteeism, of course, is when you don't show up at work. Presenteeism is you are showing up at work, but you're not mentally there. You're physically there, but there may be a host of different health conditions and risk factors that you have that basically diminish your ability to be productive.
Yeah, as you were speaking, there's a little thing in the studio called the cough button, and I engaged it to do the self-same coughing, a little sneezing. So what am I doing? Am I hurting my coworkers, hurting myself? You know, should I not be here?
Well, certainly if you have a contagious disease, it doesn't make sense for you to go to work, because not only are you affected, but all the people you come in contact with.
But I mean, so what are we talking about? Diphtheria, flu, how bad?
Well, anything that's contagious, anything that has a germ associated with it. And if you're coughing on people or shaking their hands, then, you know, there's a possibility that they're going to get infected from you. And so there's a spillover effect. Not only you, but also your team may be affected in terms of presenteeism. But the reality is that most people have health conditions that are not contagious, but yet those conditions do affect their presenteeism. Things like allergies or asthma or depression or diabetes, migraine headaches, so forth and so on. These are things that are not contagious diseases and conditions, but if you don't take care of them, you actually do affect your presenteeism at work.
What's presenteeism costing us in terms of productivity?
Well, the estimates out there are that it may be actually much greater than what the employer is paying in terms of medical bills, and even greater than absence and disability. Mm-hmm. Our estimates in our research are anywhere between 20 to 60% of the total dollar that is spent on these conditions may be attributed back to presenteeism.
Okay, so that's as a function of the overall healthcare dollars, but we can't say this many days a year, or let's put it this way. Is it worse than fantasy football, which I've read studies that say that is the biggest waster of productivity in the office today?
Well, certainly there are a lot of competing issues, things that affect presenteeism. But in terms of health conditions, this is something that's actually quite correctable.
All right. And if you are listening to this and you feel compelled to come into work while you're not quite there, what's making you? Is it internal, or is it an ogre of a manager over your shoulder? And if you're calling from work, you don't have to say it's an ogre of a manager. Just use the word lemon tree. We'll know what the code word means. Our number is 212-433-9692. Katie from Brooklyn. Go ahead, Katie.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ill. I've been ill for the past couple of days, and my boyfriend's much more ill than I am. And I'm basically just kind of writing it out and using his illness as an excuse.
As an excuse not to go into work?
I haven't called in to work yet, but the other night, a couple of days ago, I did call in because pretty much of him.
Oh, you're blaming him. And what about him? Is he going to work? All right, you got to lower your radio, Katie. That's a different kind of disease, yeah. Radioism. But you're not going to work. Is your boyfriend, the man
He went to work today, and he went to work yesterday. So.
All right. Katie, you have to lower the radio. That, I don't know what we're going to call that disease, radioism. But let's go to Nick from Brooklyn. Nick.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Nick.
I work as a unionized teacher, and my question is whether or not unionized workers who have contractually mandated sick days are more likely to take them because there can't be the same kinds of repercussions from management and therefore end up being more productive.
Dr. Ron Getzel?
Well, you know, I don't know the details of labor contracts and so forth, but certainly workers who have a certain number of sick days that they can take a year are more likely to take those sick days. They feel it's part of their work contract that they're given this essentially as a substitute for compensation. So what some companies have begun to do is actually not give you a set number of absence days or sick days.
Mm-hmm.
There are these absence databases or data banks that people have. And in some cases, employers actually give cash bonuses and rebates to employees who are not absent, too much. So, it probably is smarter for employers to say, we will look at your absence record and see what it is like, as opposed to saying, you've got 10 or 15 days a year, you should use those.
Is there a best policy, a best practices in terms of dealing with sickness in the workplace that you would recommend to an employer? Guy says, I want to do this the best way that the Institute for Health and Productivity Studies recommends. What would that be?
Well, my big push is prevention and health promotion, basically getting people to live healthy lifestyle so they don't get these illnesses in the first place. So employers can provide effective health promotion, disease prevention, and disease management programs to their employees so that they know how to prevent these illnesses from occurring in the first place, how to eat healthy, how to maintain a healthy weight, not smoke, manage their stress, get preventive screenings, and so forth. And if they do all those things, actually the amount of disease that's going to be found among workers is going to diminish.
Let's go to Mike from Larchmont. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks, fortunately. I'm sort of touching on what you were just saying a little bit earlier, Doctor, which is my company has this policy of you have 20 days off. You either take, if you're sick, you dig into your 20 days. If you're well, then that's your vacation day. Mm-hmm. So I have to, I've got small kids. I try to work my vacations around their time off in school. And yet if I'm sick, I'm digging into my vacation. And it sort of forces me to I'm going to go to work when I'm, not on the top of my game.
Mm-hmm. Is that a common complaint you hear?
Well, I've been with this group for about 6 years, and I've interviewed a couple other companies, and it seemed like a lot of companies are going in this direction of, here's your 15 days, you can do whatever you want. And they go, what do you mean? And, well, if you're sick, you take it. If you're vacation, you take it. So there's no designated sick time.
Right, but do you think of it like they're paying me anyway, so if I don't work, it's not like I'm getting paid? I mean, they could call it a bonus, but do you kind of factor it in as your regular paycheck in the back of your head?
I mean, it's something I agreed to when joining the company.
Right.
So I figure that's not a bonus. This is what I agreed to. But in practice, it's sort of causing me to compromise my health and possibly my colleagues by making decisions. It's more important that I take my vacation time than take it as sick time.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike. What do you think of that, Dr. Goetzel?
Well, no, I agree. Certainly, if you can avoid getting sick in the first place, you'll have more vacation time, more time with your family. And so that's the idea, to get the right kind of care, both for prevention and also for treatment. So some of the conditions that we've studied are things like migraine headaches and allergies and hypertension and diabetes and so forth. Those are really, very serious and chronic conditions that are debilitating. And if you can get the right kind of treatment, essentially what you're doing is buying back your vacation and personal days.
Catherine from Babylon. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead.
I am someone who does get sick days, and I teach at college. And if I take one sick day a semester, that would be a lot for me.
Why? Just an ironclad constitution? You're just lucky?
Pardon me?
Is it that you push yourself when you feel a little sick? You don't stay home?
If I feel like I'm contagious, I would not go in. But if I, you know, am not contagious, then I go in.
And the people who don't, do you look down on them for not being toughing it out?
No, not at all. I just, in my sense, I just feel, in fact, I prefer if people are just going to be whiny and unproductive, and especially if they're contagious, I'd rather they do stay home. But for me, it's really a setback, you know, in terms of the rhythm of teaching, to miss a day, and then, you know, that's a long time and, you know, the course of a subject that only meets 2 days a week anyway.
All right. Thanks for the call, Catherine. And speaking of what you were just saying, let's see if we could get to Jessica from Summit, New Jersey. Jessica, you're a teacher too?
I am.
Yeah. So I don't know if you were hearing Catherine, but do you have the counterpoint to that?
No, I completely agree.
Oh, okay.
I feel so guilty when I'm sick. I go in regardless of how I feel, and I feel guilty if I'm out because, you know, the students aren't getting their education. And if I'm out, I'm an art teacher. You know, their clay might dry, or I really need to, you know, get them going, and I really miss their, you know, their instruction. They miss their instruction, and I don't feel that's right.
Well, a lot of callers are saying, you know, the conscientious thing to do, and maybe they're speaking about the office, is don't get me sick if you're not 100%. Is it different because you're a teacher?
I feel like they have so many germs. They're given to me. I feel like I might as well just go in and do my thing, and hopefully I won't get too much more sick.
Right. So And it's also payback time, you little germ infested.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jessica.
Thank you.
And also to answer a previous call, Carissa from Brooklyn, before someone was talking about union, someone who is in a union, will they be sick more? Do you know about that?
Usually, it doesn't matter. I know this work, we are allowed one sick day per month. That's whether you're union or not, because we've got both classes. But the way it's usually written into our contract is that after 3 days, and a supervisor can ask for a doctor's note. So that's usually the little catch-22 that we've got. But usually, if people need more than 3 sick days, then they are sick. And we find that people who are sick, are feeling really bad, they are more likely to use those sick days. And also hearing a previous caller's comment about the 20 days, that's all they get per year, I think that's a big disservice that the employer does to their employees. Because if that's all that they've got, then those sick employees are less likely to go into work. And that's hurting the company's productivity. And if they make other people in the office sick, then they're just shooting themselves in the foot. They should really give them separate sick days and separate vacation days, and just, you know, allow them to take care of themselves when they aren't feeling well.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Carissa. And I also want to thank Dr. Ron Getzel, director of the Institute for Health and Productivity Studies at Cornell University's Institute for Policy Research. Thank you. How are you feeling, by the way, right now?
I'm feeling great.
Okay, that's good.
All right, Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I'm Mike Pesca. I'm not Brian Lehrer. You can tell the difference. The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Nuala McGovern, Lisa Allison, Priya George, Alicia Abbott, and Kara Woodward. Help from Spencer Wilking, Debbie Dougherty at the audio controls. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org, and thanks.